Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Dr. Joshua Clayton is South Dakota's new state epidemiologist. He's a native of Baltic, and he returned to the state from Indiana. He's a graduate of South Dakota State University. He's got master's and doctoral degrees from the University of Michigan. What is a epidemiologist, you ask? Let's meet him and find out. Dr. Josh Clayton, welcome to In the Moment.
Thank you for having me.
Let's start, Josh, with a little bit of your background from South Dakota and then away and then back home again. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, I had the great opportunity to live and go to school in South Dakota. I'm a SDSU alum, as you mentioned, and shortly after that, I started working for the health department for about 5 years, was actually mentored by the previous state epidemiologist, Dr. Lon Keitlinger, and continued my schooling at the University of Michigan, getting both my MPH and PhD. Following my doctoral degrees, I was selected for the CDC's Epidemic Intelligence Service Program, which is a two-year fellowship. Had a lot of great experiences working both at the federal and at the state level, and had worked previously before coming back to this position as the deputy state epidemiologist in Indiana, tackling a lot of the same issues that South Dakota has. I'm now here. I've been on the job for about a month now.
All right. CDC's Epidemic Intelligence Service sounds pretty fascinating. Tell me a little bit about what that fellowship to your program was like.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity for individuals with advanced degrees. It allows a person to work kind of with CDC at the federal level, either in Atlanta or be assigned to states. And I was assigned to the state of Tennessee. So worked kind of there again at kind of the state level, looking at a lot of different health issues. And was also had the opportunity to work internationally on a few response efforts. So looking at like chikungunya virus emergence into the Caribbean, and was deployed to Sierra Leone to help with the Ebola response.
All right. So give me an idea then, you know, what fascinates you about this? Is it something like, you know, that kind of response to something like Ebola, or is it the looking back at, like, you know, hey, the flu in South Dakota? What intrigues you about both those different kinds of work?
Well, there are a lot of similarities. You know, a lot of what an epidemiologist does, even in sort of a response situation like what we were working on with Ebola in Sierra Leone, is focused on data. So knowing how to look at data, how to analyze, how to interpret, and most importantly, how to disseminate that data to key stakeholders and community organizations and our partners so that they can take that information and make meaningful and impactful decisions.
All right. So you do all that except for the decision making.
I'm kind of the independent, unbiased observer in many ways.
All right. So what is your role in South Dakota going to be? What is a state epidemiologist, you know, responsible for?
Sure. The state epidemiologist has kind of responsibility for looking kind of across the gamut of health. So everything from, infants being born, to taking individuals through their life course into what hopefully is old age and just kind of watching what sort of habits do individuals come up with. You know, are they smoking? Are they exercising? So looking at both the good and the not so good health behaviors. And then taking information, as I mentioned, and disseminating that to partners. And then one of the key responses or responsibilities, I should say, is when we do have infectious diseases in the state, such as influenza, part of the responsibility is to identify and monitor the numbers so that we can see, you know, what are we seeing for a flu year, notifying people of, you know, what they can do to protect themselves, such as getting their influenza vaccine. So it's a very broad focus, but, you know, that keeps it lively. It keeps it changing every day.
What do we currently know about healthy behaviors, for example, in South Dakota that stand out? Are there areas that we target and say, you know, in this state versus, you know, your work in Tennessee, for example, where we say South Dakotans struggle with this or are particularly strong in this area and we need to craft, you know, education and policy accordingly?
Yeah, I think one of the areas that we can improve on, and this is for pretty much every state, Tennessee, South Dakota included, is the rate of adult smoking. You know, we have a good proportion of our state that engages in tobacco use in one way or another, whether that's smokeless tobacco, cigarettes, cigars, and even the e-cigarettes that are out there. You know, we're needing to do education and provide awareness that use of tobacco does have consequences, unfortunately. There are other things. One area where South Dakota does shine is looking at influenza vaccination. You know, we're usually number one, if not number two, in the country for getting out and getting influenza vaccine among all South Dakotans.
And why is that? When you look at, is that, you know, just South Dakotans themselves? Is that some really good policy and education success story there?
I think it's some of both. I think we have really good policy set up. You know, we have very high vaccination rates. We have a great vaccination program here at the state to help offer reduced and no-cost vaccines to children, and you know, we also work with a lot of our community partners to ensure that they're helping get out the word about the influenza vaccine and you know, that it can prevent serious complications from flu.
Let's talk about some things in 2018. Let's start with the flu season. Where are we at in flu activity right now in the state?
Yeah, so we're actually one of 36 states that's experiencing widespread influenza transmission. So this is the peak time. I won't say it's the peak of our activity necessarily, but we are seeing a lot of flu activity out there. So individuals in the community are experiencing, you know, fevers, coughs, and sore throats and need to take precautions appropriately. What we have seen is a little over 400 cases of laboratory confirmed influenza. We have had 68 South Dakotans being hospitalized so far this season. And unfortunately, we have had two deaths already in the state.
Is it too late to get your vaccine now? What are the things that people need to know right now in January as part of their overall flu outlook?
Yeah, it's not too late to get the influenza vaccine. Even though we are experiencing widespread transmission, the best protection that you can possibly get is to go out and get a flu vaccination. Individuals, it does take about 2 weeks to become fully effective. But, you know, even if you might have a dose of flu vaccine on board and get sick in that 2 week interim period, you know, the thought is that it may help alleviate some of the more severe symptoms of influenza. Other things that people can do are, you know, washing your hands with soap and water or using alcohol-based hand gel to wash hands, covering your mouth when you cough or sneeze. That's just good kind of cough etiquette in general. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, or mouth. Those are ways that the virus or other bacteria, one of the main ways that they enter your body. And then, you know, just the common sense, staying home if you're sick, you know, and other individuals, if they're coughing and sneezing, you know, kind of shy away from them because, you know, that is one of the ways, you know, coughing up the germs is one of the ways that it's transmitted.
Let's talk about some other things for 2018. And you mentioned earlier infant mortality and just, you know, caring and gathering data about South Dakotans through all phases of life. What do we know about, you know, your role in that coming forward in the next year?
Yeah, I think we have a lot of good opportunities to look at the health of, you know, our infants. You know, that is kind of a keystone figure or keystone data that we do look at to monitor the health of the population. Unfortunately, we have had a number of infant deaths and do each year. Our average over the past 5 years or so has been about 70 infants dying each year. Last year, we did have 59 infants die for a rate of 4.8 deaths per 1,000 live births. And that is actually a little bit lower than the national average, and it's the lowest time, the first time that we've actually been lower than the national average for probably about 20 years. So I think that some of the focus that we've had on infant mortality is working, but I think that, we need to maintain that forward momentum.
What specifically have we been doing as a state that you would say has been working and that we're seeing, the results of now?
To help combat
to reduce that number,
mortality.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're looking at providing education to mothers to decrease their tobacco use. When they are pregnant, we have about 18.5% of mothers who smoked at some point in their pregnancy. We're also looking at increasing prenatal care, specifically prenatal care in the first trimester. We only had about 68.5% of mothers who had received their prenatal care starting in that first trimester. Both of those are two factors that we look at in individuals who are not getting primary care early and are smoking are actually at an increased risk of having negative outcomes with their infant. The other thing is looking at safe sleep practices. When you are putting your baby to sleep, place them on their back in a crib with a firm mattress and not to have loose objects kind of around the crib.
Those numbers, the 4.8 deaths per 1,000 live births in the state, those are from 2016. When do we see the 2017 numbers, and what do you predict we might see then?
So we won't have a complete or finalized numbers for 2017 for several months, I think the initial glimpse that we had is that we're actually going to be a little bit higher in terms of the number of deaths than we were in 2016. I think, we'll have to see what the final numbers look like, but I think we are going to be a little bit higher there. And that just means we need to double down our efforts and continue working with our community partners, continuing to get out the word to either expecting mothers or women who are looking to become pregnant.
Let's finish here. And if you're just tuning in, I'm talking with Dr. Josh Clayton. He's South Dakota's new state epidemiologist. And let's talk about opioid misuse in the state. Where are we at statistically on that as a state?
So we're actually doing a little bit better than other states right now, looking at opioid use across the state. We are ranked about 45th in the nation for the number of drug overdose deaths. But that doesn't mean that we can become complacent. We do have a need to focus on this issue. We've seen what opioids can do in other states, and are taking a lot of different efforts to try and make sure that we don't see this becoming a major issue in South Dakota. Some of those different things would be looking at prevention and early identification of individuals who are at risk of opioid use disorder, increasing the number of treatment facilities, and then decreasing the illegal supply in the state. And the last thing is just strengthening our response to opioid misuse.
All right, so a multi-pronged approach then.
Definitely, yeah. We have a lot of good partners that we're working with on this initiative, as well as other state agencies. And we are focused on trying to make sure that we know what's going on by looking at the numbers that are out there, both the number of deaths that we have, the number of hospitalizations, and trying to make a difference.
We don't have. I'm hearing you say the number of treatment centers that we probably would ideally have in a state our size, geographically located in the right places. That's a problem for us, do you say?
I think that's one of the areas that we're definitely looking at is what sort of bed capacity do we have, how many different providers do we have in the state, and you know, what sort of need do we have, both now and in the future, so that we can make sure that we're appropriately balancing out, you know, what we may see as need in the next, say, 5 years, with where we're at now. So that is one of the main drivers and main items that our plans are looking at, is to make sure that we're meeting the need, treatment needs.
What do you think we'll see regarding opioid use and misuse in the state in 2018? What are some of the things that we see rolling out now that South Dakotans might notice is a new push?
Yeah, well, we're definitely focusing on pushing out information to the public, on making them aware of the dangers of their prescription opioids. You know, that's where a lot of kind of this cycle starts, you know, the potential cycle for abuse is individuals who, you know, go to the doctor, they may have been injured on the job, they may have been injured at home and are prescribed an opioid medication. And it's, you know, when you start out and you're taking it appropriately, you know, and following your doctor's orders and continuing to work with your doctor, it does make, you know, it easy to kind of cut back. But, you know, depending on the number of pills you're prescribed, and if you're going out and trying to touch up a couple different doctors and trying to, you know, get a couple different pain prescription medications, you know, that's where we kind of see some of the concerns starting. And that's what we're hoping to avoid with some of the intervention efforts that we're looking at, and public awareness and things.
Dr. Josh Clayton is South Dakota's new state epidemiologist. We are on the phone with him from Pierre. Josh, thank you so much for being here. We look forward to talking to you often in the future. Welcome home.
Thanks, Lori.